Have Hannah as our guest speaker. She will come and share a message. She's had a wonderful summer on the picture here. She'll tell you more about some events that took place. She served as a minister intern at Lake Junaluska Assembly up near Waynesville, North Carolina. That's where she grew up, actually, as a young girl, and she went back this summer. And she worked with literally thousands of young people that came into the lake, and I know she'll share some of that. But she's here to share the word of God. Amen. Amen, Hannah.
Good morning. The sermon lesson today comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you in this special moment, asking that you open up our hearts and open up our minds to your holy word. Allow us to be transformed so that we uncover your truths for living well. In the holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. To live well, it seems like such a great idea, one that gives us this gumption, and one that we think we even need to pursue. Because I think it appears so simple, and it's packaged up so nicely, these two words, they're calling us to action. And yet, through their simplicity, they still feel deep and purposeful. And I think that urgency that we get from these words is something worth looking into. So this morning, we're going to look at what it means to live well, and how the only true way we can live well is by putting our hope in Christ and realizing that he is in us and we are in him. The scripture today gives us a great outline for how to live well. In these verses, Paul is telling the church at Colossae how to take off their old selves and put on their new selves through righteous living. So looking at the first verse, we can see the change. Since then, that's indicating a change. We have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. This calling out of direction is so important. Above, that is where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Above. And in the second verse, Paul is saying to set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Note that in both verses, direction is so important. And sometimes in our lives, that's all it takes. We need to set our eyes where Christ is. We need a new direction. We need that upward thinking and that upward emotion. So we must look to where Christ is. We must set our hopes and our desires and our relationships and our conversations and even our daily outlook on life above, always aimed toward Christ. And that is step one to living well, realizing where you are and where you're looking. What direction are you looking? Just evaluating where you are in this life and who is holding you and who you're holding. This beautiful command is to set our hearts on things above and set our minds on things above. Because it's not just our heart. And it's not just our mind. They both have to be facing that same upward direction toward Christ, working together, heart and mind. As you know, this summer I had the privilege of going back home to the mountains and working at Lake Junaluska. My first day as a summer staff member included attending orientation and learning the mission statement of the lake. In group bonding activities with my new coworkers, we had to learn this mission statement. So already on the first day, I had it memorized, but boy, did I hear it so many times after that. I could probably recite it in my sleep easily, but telling you right now will suffice. The mission of Lake Junaluska is to be a place of Christian hospitality, where lives are transformed through renewal of soul, mind, and body. Hearing this at every lake event became somewhat amusing, yes, but I decided I would try to truly encompass it, to let it serve as a guide for my actions. And this scripture reminds me so much of this beloved mission statement because it talks about your heart and your mind. We can't just know about Christ and think that will do the job. We can't think we know how to live well and use that to justify our actions. And just the feelings of our heart alone aren't enough. We need to meditate with our hearts and our minds. Meditate on Christ and the Holy Word of God. Jesus even told us this himself in Matthew 22, verse 37, when he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." We must put that love that we have for Christ as our guiding factor, letting it consume all of us. Now we find out why we must do this. For in verse 3 it says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." And this is radical because it shows us not to imagine life and then death. No, for life and then death has no hope. That is not based on true love, to simply live and die and let that be the end. No, the scriptures teach us death and then life. So we must die. We must rid ourselves of everything that is truly keeping us away from Christ. That is why this scripture is telling us that we have already died. But now we live because of those personal moments with Christ. Because we are hidden and secured in Christ, we live. We live because he died for us and conquered death and outstretched the path to life. Are we as a people truly embracing this powerful truth, this sacred relationship with our Savior? This is found when we realize at the end of the day, it is Christ alone who can save us. It is Christ alone that can bring salvation. And that is what we are learning in this scripture, that our life is so much more than these worldly things, because it is in someone who loved us enough to die for us. And God loved us enough to send his Son for us. So do we have those hidden moments with Christ? That love of the heart and that knowledge of the mind that only he can fulfill your life. And that only in him can you live well. Because he wants us to appear with him in glory and live forever with him. Now the scripture gives us a chance to evaluate ourselves. Are we moving towards living, or are we moving towards dying? Verse 5 tells us to put to death all of the things that belong to our earthly nature. All of these are moving towards death, but we are being urged to put them to death and move to life. Don't let these rule your hearts, and don't let them rule your minds. Because we used to walk in these ways in our old life, but we have been made new, ridding ourselves of all such things listed in verse 9. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language will help bring us into the light. They will help bring us into life. So let's ask God to help us in all of these difficult areas of life. Because wanting to live well, that want is us trying to take action. But trust me, God is making it possible. He is in active pursuit of us and is calling us to reach out to him and claim this beautiful life he is offering. And what's so amazing about this Christian life is that it's not meant to be lived alone. Christ has surrounded us with so many people to support and love. And that love is eternal. You can be a light to someone and allow someone else to be a light in your life. And verse 9 tells us one way in which we can do this, by not lying to each other. We must be honest with each other. Remind each other of Christ-like behaviors and show boldness in Christ to each other. Between the youth events this summer, I worked in the child care center where I pretty much watched kids all day as they crawled on the floor, jumped around on the playground, and anxiously awaited for snack time. But through these hundreds of children, this one little girl's remark still rings clear and true in my ear. The day she arrived, she came up to me and said, "Hi, Miss Hannah, I'm Magnolia, and this is my little brother, and we're believers." Wow, did you hear that? We're believers. To me, that was so amazing. That was the first thing she wanted me to know about her. Are we this bold to proclaim this? Do we have this boldness like a child? Because scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, that unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So are we running to Christ like a child with that hope and that confidence? Are we being so bold not to lie about who we are and whose we are? To me, those words, "we're believers," created one of the most special moments of the summer. And this is the reason. Because it motivated me to want to live well. It reminded me that my purpose in living well is to show the light of Christ to the world. And this story also shows that living well, living for Christ, has no formalities such as age or experience. For we can come to the feet of Jesus right where we are. No matter how old or young, how clean or dirty, Christ is calling us all. And verse 11 tells us this by saying, "Here, in the image of our Creator, there are no divisions. There is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." Christ is in all that surrounds us. He is seen through this beautiful church, through the wondrous works of nature, through mended relationships, through hope for the future, and through love, especially through love, because Christ himself is love. And the cross is the ultimate symbol of this love. And this summer, I had so many quiet moments at the cross. One of the most iconic symbols of the lake is this enormous, fully lit cross that overlooks the water. And it is truly breathtaking to look upon the cross and the mountains in the same landscape. And at the end of every youth event, envision this, 300 teenagers would make the trek from Shackford Hall up the mountain to the cross. And once we were all at the cross, seated in the amphitheater in that valley, the youth would tell their stories. They would tell how Christ was working in their lives and how they encountered him during the week. And the common factor of all of their stories was love. With tears in their eyes, they would pour out their hearts and proclaim the love that they had felt that week. They would talk of the new friendships they made, the small gestures of a smile they received, the exciting hope they had for their futures, all because of the undivided and unconditional love they were met with as they entered the doors. As they lifted up their hands in praise, I lifted up my spirit to Christ because I knew in my head and I felt it in my heart that this beautiful sight was eternal. These moments were filled with life because love was present, because Christ was present. And Christ is present now, in this place, in our lives. We just need to look upward to him and accept that mighty power of love. Because when it's all said and done, I want the King of all kings, the Creator of the universe, my Lord, to tell me these four words: "You have lived well."
Amen. Amen. What a wonderful message. How true it is. God has called us to live well, to open up our hearts and to think with our heads. I didn't tell Hannah this, but the study came out last week. A scientist had been doing some experiments on the heart and made a startling discovery. Up to this point, they've always thought the heart was just an engine of the body. But what he discovered is that the heart will actually interpret things first before the head, which means the heart can think. And they're starting now to think that the heart is a thinking organ as well as the head. And it usually, it's things that are about to happen, the heart responds to first, and then the head responds to, not the other way around. So what that means is that God speaking to your heart and then to your head. And I think that's the message Hannah's talking about, that in our lives, if you hear your heart aching right now for God to intervene in your life, if you feel it inside of you that you need God at a level you've never known him before, then listen to your heart. Listen to what Hannah's talking about, and that will cause you to live well. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Our final hymn is Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God and His Righteousness. On page 405, I invite you to stand as we sing this recessional hymn today. 405 on the screen. Now may the love of God, the grace of his Son, our Savior Jesus the Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore, we pray. Amen.